When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Survivor Specialist John and McKenna are back today to rewind this episode of Survivor 49. I kicked Kyle to the curb and took my rightful spot here as co-host of the Rewind, and excited to dive into this episode.
Yeah, McKenna, we have a new era first. We have our first time in the past 9 seasons we have ever had two tribes at the same time, two official tribes at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's refreshing, but it almost felt like we've had this before. Like I was talking to you, I was like, no, I feel like we've had this at one point, but we haven't. It just feels like in the earlier few seasons of, you know, buffs and no buffs, or the double tribal councils where they would split into two tribes, groups. So it feels like we have had this, but it's actually, you know, not official tribes, it's just amalgamations of people.
Yeah, I think the closest we had was was it season 45 where they divided them into two groups for no reason to compete in the challenge at one point in the pre-merge. But other than that, like, all we've had is these three tribe format, and we're kind of seeing the results of a three tribe format leading into this two tribe swap here. Unfortunately, I mean, Phil and Will talked about it. Phil, Blake, and Peridium talked about it earlier today on Digging Deeper. You're kind of dealing with, like, the consequences of our disaster tribe, which we have been talked about ad nauseum so far when it comes to the new era, resulting in this, oh, hey, look, we have a 4-2-1 on both of these two tribes. So it feels like we finally, it feels like a monkey paw situation, right? Where it's like, oh, we asked for our two tribes, but at what cost? Like, we had this, like, seemingly foregone conclusion to what will happen these next couple episodes in this iteration. But that being said, I think even despite that, I felt like the editors did a good job at still leaving, like, some tension as to which of the two of the original Hinas would end up going in this situation until, like, you get to the very end of the episode, which I thought was good. And it was just nice seeing people. It was nice seeing everyone in the cast have to interact with people.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting tribe dynamics. This whole episode was honestly really hard for us to try and find what we wanted exactly to discuss. And a lot of our examples aren't exactly correct as they have been in the past. For our outwit, we want to talk about being too OG tribe strong. It felt like Jason was a little bit more immovable when it came to working with his new tribe. And Matt seemed a bit more open to working with them. But this didn't end up in Jason going home. Typically, a lot of times this happens and that person goes home because they can't work with them. So, for example, Tom Laidlaw in Island of the Idols, you know, he was perceived to be, you know, two OG tribes strong and therefore not going to work with them moving forward. So he was kind of just this stick that they couldn't, you know, move.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Again, like you said, this episode, we kind of have to work with like a little more theory crafting and look into the more like the theory behind Survivor in order to get some of these topics. And in this case, we're seeing this example of Jason saying, oh, yeah, like, I mean, I can kind of work with you, but like in the context of keeping his connections with the old Hina.
Yeah, where's
what
the,
was the,
where's
what was the one line? Yeah, that one line he says to Savannah of like, oh, I'll make sure they don't target you guys. It's like, who else are they going to target, yeah. Jason?
Well, it's also like that line of, I have connections on the other side. Let's use that together. And then I hate everyone. I don't like anybody. I'm so new tribe strong. Let's do it. There's that line of like, I don't believe that you have nobody over there. There's got to be something. You're downplaying this too much. And then you're overplaying your hand of your connections, and it's not helping your case here. It's actually hindering it because it means you're going to be with them and your old connections. You're not really doing your new tribe a service. So like, where is that line and how do you toe it? And all these examples, they don't do it well. And I don't know who really truly has.
The thing is, and it's really hard for us to evaluate properly at this point in Survivor because we're also with this swap to two tribes, right? We've seen three tribes swap to two tribes before in Survivor, mm-hmm. right? We've seen it happen in, it happens in All Stars. It happens in Philippines has like, you know, the breakdown and amalgamation of tribes and everything yeah. like that. Cagayan swaps to two tribes, mm-hmm. Worlds Apart. Like a lot of our seasons that start on three tribes do go to two tribes eventually. But those have always happened with more days under the belts, too. Like, mm-hmm. more relationships have been built at that point, right? Looking at old school twists and swaps, right? Like, the episode we end up watching for Patreon this week, right? They talk about the fact that it's day 15 when they're doing the swap. And mm-hmm. this is day 6. They're doing a swap on day 6. So you don't even have that big of a time to establish these relationships with your new tribe
yeah.
or your old tribe, right? Like the game's going so fast that it's like, okay, am I supposed to stay original tribe strong or do I need to move into a new tribe situation, right? Like, and we have seen in the past, right? Like, obviously, even if we go all the way back to the first tribe swap we ever had in Africa, right? Yes, there's this hint of OG tribe strong that we get there, but eventually it starts amalgamating into this hodgepodge of like, okay, these people are working together. They're not necessarily just sticking to their original tribal lines anymore. And that's like the evolution of the game. And we've seen that several times, right? Where we have people like Tom Laidlaw who preaches like this idea of like OG tribe strong, like let's just stick together. We have the I have to remember exactly the Island of the Idol swap, I'm pretty sure was fairly even, but mm-hmm. it's that idea of like sticking together through that.
Yeah,
to work forward to a point in the game that you're not even at yet, right? Like, and that's the interesting thing about this idea of like OG tribe strong. It when we see like Jason pitching it, right? Like Jason's entire pitch is, I have connections on Hina. I can make sure they don't go after you, Jason. That doesn't matter if you don't get there, right? Like,
yeah. It also is like, okay, but we're going to come to a point where we have to go after each other, but are we good? Like, can we do something together? And he didn't have that pitch of like, all right, I'm here. I love this conversation. Let's keep working on this. It was more of a, this was, talking to you has been great. I think you know, we could keep each other to the merge, but like at the same time, I've got this group of other people who I've talked with and we're moving forward and I'll save you for last.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's just like, it doesn't seem very genuine. And you look at how Matt approaches this, which I don't think is very good either, because he's like overly scheming from a bottom position, like trying to flip things over, not understanding the dynamics of his new mm-hmm. swap tribe, which is definitely, you know, proves to be a little bit of a ultimately, it's what sends him home here. And it's such a hard balancing act to what? Like that tightrope you have to walk in order to figure this out. Because how much can you be like, I have these assets that I can bring to you that are like tangible versus loyalty, right? And like you compare it to how like Sophie approaches the situation instead, where Sophie just makes sure she gets those connections in right away.
Yeah.
And Sophie's kind of in this different spot where she doesn't have an original tribe to be strong too. Mm-hmm. But it almost allows her to be a little more like play the game a little more naturally in this situation instead.
And then we also have, you know, we have this example in Second Chances as well. It's again slightly not the same because he's in the majority situation. But it's the Varner we have a rat, where he is trying to communicate something to his old tribe mates, and he's perceived as not new tribe strong, not Angkor strong. And that is a problem. He doesn't end up going home that episode, just like Jason does not end up going home this episode. But it still, you know, puts a bad taste in people's mouths with moving forward with him.
Yeah, but the thing is like Varner almost kind of gets this like free pass in this tribal council or in this round where he has been caught by Tasha like mouthing to the other tribe and everything and called out at the challenge just because Abby Maria and PG really didn't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like their conflict that arose from the two of them kind of was able to distract them. And that's what I feel like that's what happened to Jason here. Right? Like Jason just gets to kind of skate by here because Matt got a little too aggressive, mm-hmm. told Jawan, hey, like we can do this. He like correctly identifies that Jawan's probably on the bottom of this group of four original Ulis, but makes the assumption that Sophie is with him. Right? Like Sophie would automatically work with them, even though logically there is no reason Sophie would ever be with these two Hinas. Mm-hmm. It puts her on the bottom, right? Like, yes, she's on the bottom of this group of four. That's still two people ahead of her at that point.
Yeah, exactly. It's so interesting to like how each person in Jason, in Tom, and in Varner like approach this tribe strong aspect, because he was just, Varner was giving like a well wishes or whatever to Kelly. It would like, it wasn't anything too crazy, but at the same time, it was cross tribe communication. And I don't know about you, but you know, this is my tribe. I'm not with anybody over there. And then Tom being the most likely to flip back to his old tribe if they made the merge with him, got him out. And then Jason just felt a little bit colder, a little bit more standoffish.
Yeah, we see the conversations between like Savannah and Rizzo about it, this idea that like Jason seems like the bigger threat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, like last week on the Predictions of Power, Sam Phelan said, get out the puzzle guy, right? Like Jason has these like things that make it so that it makes sense to get rid of Jason here. It's probably the right thing. But at the same time, Matt seems to be a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And like, which would you rather work with? Would you rather work with someone who you is at least a little predictable? You kind of have an idea of where his head's at. Or do you want to work with someone who, you know, might do something sporadic and like out of left field and you have no chance of control?
But if I'm Jawan, we pull the he's a snake but he's my snake situation.
Yeah.
If I was Jawan, I'd almost want to keep Matt.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Phil was saying that this vote really does kind of show how strong Nate's pull is on this group.
Mm-hmm.
How much yes, we're seeing it kind of through like Savannah and Rizzo this episode, but I think it's kind of this compliment to Savannah not pushing for it to go to Jason instead here, but also that Nate is like respected enough within this four that him being like, he's saying my name, let's just get him out. It's the safer thing to do.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And I just don't know, because the interesting thing with this situation is these are two people on the bottom, right? Like they are in the minority in this tribe. Like when we look at tribe swaps and everything, there's a lot of conversation about tribe swaps this week, right? Because we have a new tribe swap to two.
Wait, really?
Phil and Will talked about it on the recap, this idea of like, is the random tribe swap the worst possible tribe swap here? Because it gets us into this situation when they could have, like, we don't like thinking about production engineering things, but like they could have easily, as Phil and Will both said, made Sophie and Alex team captains and then made it so that there was an even split on both the tribes by doing a schoolyard pick, right? So yeah. It's fascinating because like when you're put into this minority situation, what are you supposed to do? Like, are you supposed to be like, okay, I have these people here who I can bring in, kind of like what Jason says, or do you just abandon that and kind of show this lack of loyalty in the first place, right? It's one of the fine lines in Survivor that makes the game so interesting, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. This takes us into our outplay portion of the game, and we want to talk the Block Tower. By we, I mean me, because I love this portion of the challenge. There are certain challenges where I'm just like, this is it. And this brought me back to old school Survivor. Even though it only premiered in Samoa, it's not that old school. I mean, it's half the seasons ago. But
it's a while ago now.
No, but then like our more recent ones are, you know, Koh Rong, HHH, where we get it as well. So it's like toward the, you know, HHH is closer to, it's pretty close to the
40s. I'm just saying Samoa aired 16 years ago.
I wasn't watching Survivor 16 years ago. But yeah, so I really like this challenge, and I don't know all of the official rules to this challenge of like, could they have lifted the blocks up and stacked underneath? Because if they weren't thinking that, I feel like they should have been. It should be like two people on someone's shoulders and then lifting up the blocks and placing underneath and placing underneath, because then you don't have to go through all the rigmarole of MC standing on Alex's back and then, you know, stacking it with someone on her shoulders. And it's a lot of moving pieces that, you know, can get really hurting. Owie, like, it's just,
yeah, I totally get what you mean, and especially because like these blocks, like this thing gets really tall, and that's coming from me, a tall person, saying yes, that, right? Like me knowing I am absolutely in the Nate situation if I'm doing this challenge and have someone on my shoulders getting them up and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
This gets tall. You saw the way that they had to transition in order to stack these up. And I don't know what the rules are. Like, is there another strategy, or do you, because
it's definitely having two people on shoulders and stacking mm-hmm. underneath. Like, I feel like that is guaranteed, because then you have someone lifting and someone placing and stabilizing and all that. But is that making it too easy? Do they need the struggle of putting it on top and climbing over everybody?
If you listen to the verbiage that Jeff uses while he's explaining the challenge, he does say you have to place them on top.
Oh.
Right. Or like he says, like, put them on top. And it's like, again, it's unclear whether he's talking about like the smaller blocks on top of the bigger blocks or like just blocks on top of each other in general. Mm-hmm. It's confusing.
Yeah. Well, the challenge, or this portion of the challenge, is called Well Stacked, and it's so interesting to look at some of these examples of this challenge where Koh Rong, the team that has Scott Pollard on it, loses. Scott doesn't win. It's the other side. It's crazy because you know, you would think that the team with Scott on it wins. But they...
Scott does win this one. Like, just narrowly, don't they? This one's really close, I thought.
I'm pretty sure he's on yellow and blue wins. Chanlo wins.
This is the Peter boot, though, right? No, you're right. Scott is on that tribe. Like, how? How is the NBA player not tall enough to do this challenge?
Yeah, but Nate, hey, he's in it. He's in it to win it.
Yeah. it's just fascinating because I think... Like, this is an aspect of the challenge that obviously you can... This is essentially a puzzle, right? Like, it's not a puzzle, but it fills the puzzle slot.
Version of... Right. It feels like that end of the challenge. It's where it's not basketball. It's not, like, something physical. It is physical, but it's, like, that nice middle point where if it was a few episodes sooner, it would have been really interesting because it didn't end in a puzzle. And maybe, just maybe, Kella might have been able to... save themselves from tribal council.
Maybe. I don't think it matters because MC has been a cheat code in these challenges. MC
second place.
Yeah, even then, I don't know.
But I think it's just a great end portion to a challenge where, you know, it's that, you know, middle ground of it is a little bit of a puzzle, but it's not really a puzzle. It's not super physical like basketball or like throwing things up on a ledge or something like that. And it involves everybody. Like it's a team building last bit of the leg where you don't have someone being like, I bumbled the puzzle. I couldn't get the last target.
Yeah, I mean, some of the fascinating things with this challenge is that there's a risk of you dropping things, right? Mm-hmm. Like this tower doesn't look very good. And we see Juwan in this challenge kind of, like, stabilizing the tower as Hina is trying to build it up. Yeah. But, like, what good is that actually doing you when it comes to the top of that tower?
Right, exactly. I'm surprised that no one, like, really toppled it over either, because we have seen tribes have to rebuild. And then we also see this challenge in the second episode of HHH as well. And I think this is just something that we need to bring back more. I really enjoyed this portion of the challenge. It made it not feel so obstacle course puzzle, even though it was just that one change.
Do you know what was my favorite part about this entire challenge?
Please.
At the beginning of this challenge, when they like show the demo video of the dream team doing it, they are clearly jumping into much deeper water at the beginning of this challenge than these people were actually jumping into.
Well, there you go.
Because it looks like they were actually swimming, and then while they're doing it, they're pulling. But like this again felt like there was this aspect of this challenge that felt so good to be two tribes again, right? Mm-hmm. And it felt good to be able to watch these two tribes go at the same time. And it felt good. Like, it feels a lot better to watch challenges. And this is just like John challenge theory. Not even where it's competitive. I would rather be looking for a winner than a loser. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When we have these three tribe challenges, we're always looking for a loser.
That's true.
Whereas when you have two tribes going head to head, you're looking for a winner. And we had that like little bit of contact with like the crossover in the past with the boats and stuff like that. So like there was that little aspect of like the head to head to it. Sure, nothing else in the challenge gets there.
I didn't think about that, but that is like a better way to watch Survivor too, is like you're looking for something positive rather than something negative in the loser with three tribes.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that we get it right after we have probably like the most disheartening loss in a Survivor season in a long time with Kella's loss last week, right? Where the complete silence after the immunity challenge. So to have that this week where it's like, okay, I'm not looking to see, oh my God, is someone going to pull it off? I'm like, oh, who's going to win? It's more exciting. I think it makes challenges more exciting.
Especially when they had just two blocks left. Like this challenge provides a not clear runaway and you're able to catch up because we saw Kella in like a commanding lead, and then all of a sudden Hina catches up and they're even, and then they both only have two blocks left to stack, and it's like, how do we get our final two blocks stacked? And you know, you're really on the edge of your seat waiting for someone to do it, rather than, you know, if it were someone had already won and then two tribes are battling it out for that last spot.
Yeah, exactly, right? And we do have an example of this exact type of thing being done in three tribes with Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And again, like, it's just that difference between looking for the winner and the loser. And like in HHH, like, it has a little bit of tension in it, because you get that moment where, like, you know, the healers forget a block early on and stuff, which is something that this challenge didn't let to do. And I do like that, because in previous iterations of this, we have seen it where, like, you can kind of leave blocks behind. There was no room for that error, really, in this challenge. I also
liked how they transported everything this time. It was a lot of fun. Like, it was a true, like, real tribe challenge, mm-hmm. where it's not, you do this part, you do this part, you do this part. And I liked that there were solo elements to it, where, you know, you do have those call outs, but at the same time, there were a lot of group elements, which was just really, really nice.
Yeah, and you also have this, I think one thing that I think is really understated in this, and why it makes such a good post-swap challenge, you need so much coordination in order to lift someone up to put these blocks on top of this last tower. Mm-hmm. Like, on the top of it, right? Like, we even see how it's going, right? Like, they have their plan, they have, I can't even remember who Kella had on MC's shoulders and stuff, but then they were, like, hoisting them up. And it's like, okay, we actually have to hoist MC up, because MC's the tallest and is able to do that.
Strength, too.
The core strength needed to stand in that position and not knock over the tower, right? So there's so much coordination. It just works so well as a post-swap challenge, because you are really testing the ability of these people not only to think on the fly, but also to figure out their ability to cooperate quickly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. This just was so refreshing, and brought us back to old school Survivor, where we had a clear point of what we wanted to do for Outplay, and we haven't really been talking elements of challenges, because there have been other things involved in these challenges that fit our Outplay section. And to be able to talk about a certain element of a challenge and kind of really break it down is nice as well. So I think this was, like, one of my favorite parts of the episode.
Yeah. Again, like, I was more excited to watch this challenge than I have been to watch a challenge in quite some time.
Mm-hmm. So, Outlast. And we are going to be talking how certain beaches are determined, because this felt very haves and have-nots Fiji style, with they didn't choose the red beach and the yellow beach. They chose to keep the blue beach. And yes, you might comment things like, they painted the challenges already. They're not going to just repaint the challenges for the better beach, but I'm not going to live in that world. I think that, you know, it just, they could have, you know, they could have repainted things, and they chose not to. They chose to go with the struggle beach and the happy beach.
I have so many thoughts about this entire aspect, and there are so many different things in this swap that we could have talked about. We could have talked about, like, going from three tribes to two tribes, but we thought it was really important to talk about those beaches, because I think this is the most pronounced it's ever been, because it's like there's an active decision as to what beach is being used here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it and you think, okay, we are specifically choosing the tribe that has won everything and the tribe that's lost everything. Is production intending to do that? Was that, again, like you said, they painted all the challenge stuff and everything. Was this always the intention? It's just like, oh, sucks. Like, Kala is just the tribe that doesn't have their flint. Like, why, when we are swapping tribes, are we just, like, ambiguously deciding half of these people don't have flint still?
Yeah, like, sucks to suck. You're going on this beach that doesn't have flint. Like, why can't we give them flint now? Because some people now on Kala have earned flint. They've you know, had it, and now they're like, all right, you know, you're out of here. So that brings us to Fiji with, it feels like Hina is that halves beach, and they have the bed, the couch, the coffee, and that Kela is Ravu with the cave and the dirt and, you know, the few fish. I don't know. They could have put some of Uli's rewards over onto Kela. They could have maybe evened it out a little bit, or just did Hina and Uli. I don't know. It just felt like they were forcing the struggle, even though we did have a Kela win today.
We did. But does it even matter that Kela wins here? Because it's not Kela. Like, I mean, it's Kela right. In name, and yes, it's Kela in, hey, they have, okay shelter, but they have no fire and like no food or anything like that, but like, and it's on the Kela beach, but it's not really Kela. It's not like Sophie and Alex are lamenting in their own victory or anything mm-hmm. like that, right? It's so bizarre that this is the decision we get here, and I think it's completely fair for us to compare this to like season 14 and Fiji and the Moto and Ravu types, because this is a haves and haves not situation. It's literally like, here's the lap of luxury, and here is like hell on earth.
I almost feel like it should have been Uli and not Hina. Like, Hina, to me, this season, well, one, they've been winning outright the majority of the challenges, but two, they've had like the better of all the rewards. If the reward is attached to immunity, but two, why not choose Uli where it might be a little bit more similar to Kela, where they don't have the small tarp, they don't have the big tarp, they have the small tarp. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the big fishing net, they have, you know, the small lures or whatever. You know, it's maybe a little bit more even and not where we're having to describe this as have and have not.
I think personally, and I was texting Phil this during the episode, but I think what they should have done in order to prevent the situation. And granted, again, like, we're going to two tribes for the first time in a while, right? We've had tribe swaps in the new era to three tribes, and someone has ended up on that, the disaster tribe beach. And I haven't even thought about the fact that they still don't have their flint, and that mm-hmm. it makes no sense that they still don't have their flint.
Yeah.
It's just like production trying to maintain this idea of, oh, the new era is harder because like some people are starving for longer and they don't have food and they don't have flint and everything. But it's so unnecessary to do. And what I said to Phil was, the best thing they could have done here, especially because they're going to two tribes for the first time in the new era, they should have given us a headbanger. Like, give us, like, Sumo at Sea, or give us, like, something like that. And make it, like, go Australian. Like, Australia, what Australia versus the World did in their opening challenge this season was fantastic, right? Where you had the head-to-head challenge. And then everyone who won a head-to-head challenge got to choose one of the rewards.
Yeah.
Like, that is the fairest way to do this. And granted, we're living in Survivor. Survivor's not fair, right? Like, they planned the season out ahead of time, as Jeff was very insistent, is what happened in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they were going to two tribes no matter what. And that was all part of the plan. The only thing that changed it is, like, it happened a little sooner because someone got medically evacuated from the game.
Yeah.
But it's okay to add some semblance of fairness to it.
I mean, because also in the beginning of Fiji, they fought for Ravu versus Moto. Mm-hmm. Like, why not whoever wins a challenge? Why not? What if the challenge was real? Like, can we make that be a challenge and then fight for the beach? And I feel like that would be a bit more fair, as opposed to, all right, let's just, you know, divide them to these beaches.
If we look at that swap in Fiji, the thing that makes it almost more fair is that it's a schoolyard pick. It all goes back down to what Phil and Will were complaining about in the first place, that this wasn't a schoolyard pick, because it divided the tribes evenly, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, you had some people who had already been living in the lap of luxury on Modo going back to Modo. But half of those people were on Ravu and didn't get to experience that at all.
Yeah.
So you have that opportunity there to have that just simply by saying, like, that swap in Fiji is Jeff saying both tribes send one person up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're picking new tribes. Go for it. You have to pick someone from the opposite tribe, and they will pick someone from the opposite tribe from them.
Yeah.
That simple. It divides everything evenly, so you're not getting this like mixed match of like four versus two. And let's be real, that is not an even tribe split. There is a tribe of six men put together in that season. They just suck because they're like just can't do anything, and they continue to lose for that entire pre-merge. But there is that lack of fairness in Survivor. But sometimes you should even the playing field, and to do that, you don't put it. Make it so that one tribe is like, I will admit, like the scene with Savannah and Rizzo lying in the hammocks and being like, the best thing about this is that we're lying in Hida's hammocks right now. Hilarious. And it was great to see that. But I don't need to see seven people now living without fire for no reason.
Yeah. I also think it is fair with the, and I honestly kind of liked it with the, first introduction in Second Chances, but like I feel like my brain always goes to Michaela getting Ikabula Beach, where there's nothing and you have to start over, where they introduce that format of 2-3 with the third tribe having nothing and starting over. But at the same time, they just had no shelter. They still had fire.
They still had fire. They still had rice. Like, they still had all of that stuff, right? It was just like, oh, you had to build a shelter then, which sucks. Sucks a lot. And, like, Michaela was right to get angry about it because it's quite frankly, it's quite bullshit. I mean, I've been saying how much everything on this is just stupid. And has my opinion on that changed after watching it last night? Yeah, it has. In all honesty, like, before, I kind of just was nonchalant about it. I didn't really care. But after watching this and being like, wait,
they should have gotten their flint. That's the main thing.
That's what it comes down to. Is like they should have just gotten their flint. That's the one thing that baffled me. When you get to that immunity challenge, it's just like that
third auxiliary tribe that has to start over, you know, even though they have a shelter.
Yeah, but like they don't have any of their, but it's not even just their flint. They don't have any supplies whatsoever. They don't have a machete. They don't have a pot, right? Like they don't have any of this stuff.
Because he didn't win it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, it's rough out here on Kella Beach, but more power to them for, you know, winning that challenge without any of this and winning that flint back. So we have talked about it today, but please go watch Fiji episode 6. I've got strength now to carry the flag. Watch that so you can listen to us this weekend. And John, what do we got going on in the Specialist universe?
Well, I've mentioned it already. Phil and Will recap the episode. It's an interesting conversation about tribe swaps and everything, and just like the new era in general, as it usually is. Phil and Blake were joined by Peridium on Digging Deeper today. They talked about tribe swaps and kind of like the future of Survivor a little bit. It was a very interesting conversation. Peridium always gives us some great insight into the game, so it was really great hearing what he has to think going this far in. Phil will be joined by Eric Reichenbach for the predictions and power rankings on Sunday. That will be a phenomenal podcast. You definitely want to tune into that. Tegwith will be back with Matt Chat. There was some timing issues that happened last week that prevented it from happening, but she will be back this week with some sort of guest. Not sure who, but somebody will be joining Tegwith for Matt Chat on Tuesday Rachel? Or Monday.
I think it's Rachel.
Maybe. Someone. I've been told someone. And then, of course, McKenna and I will be back for the Rewind next week. McKenna and Kyle recapped The Amazing Race, which, honestly, guys, if you haven't been watching this season of The Amazing Race,
it actually feels
good. It's actually really good. So check that out. And then everything over on the Patreon. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we will see you next week.
Goodbye, everyone.